The Trump administration was ordered by a federal judge in 2018 to stop separating most migrant children from their parents at the border. The public outcry over the issue was fierce, and the administration has said it's not enforcing that policy anymore. But a new report from independent journalists Jude Joffe Block and Valeria Fernandez shows families are still being separated. The court order, you see, does not apply to non-parents, grandparents, aunts, siblings, and others who often step in to act as guardians but don't have formal paperwork to show it. Considering this and the additional 1,500 children separated from their parents recently that was revealed in a lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union, the number of known cases like this is now more than 5,460. Joffe Block and Fernandez's story appears in The Guardian and outlines this ongoing issue through the lens of one woman who is in detention in Arizona now after being separated from her niece, who she had raised as her own. I spoke with them more about it recently.
In her case, it's a series of events that happened in her life. Her family was in the middle of a land dispute. They were targeted by a local gang in a rural area of Guatemala, and they first murdered her mother several years ago. They came back, and they murdered her father, her sister, the mother of her of the little niece, and they almost killed a little girl, and they almost killed Alexa. But the last drop was when her husband was murdered right in front of her, and that's what really pushed Alexa to flee. She went into Mexico, and when she reached the U.S. border, she didn't know, really. She didn't have a plan, and she didn't have an understanding of, oh, I can apply for asylum in the United States. She was fleeing for her life towards the United States, and thanks to the help of local advocates, mostly from the U.S. that were in Mexico, she made a decision to present herself at the port of entry in Lukeville and ask for asylum with a little girl. There was a possibility that they could be separated. So she carried a letter that stated that she didn't agree with the separation. She had the documents, the death certificates of all her family members, her birth certificate, her niece's birth certificate. But that wasn't enough because the government, they don't recognize that relationship unless there is like a official adoption process.
And you actually write in this that she was told by federal prosecutors in Guatemala that the best thing to do in the end would be to flee.
That's right. The way Alexa told us the story was that when she went to the federal prosecutor's office in Guatemala, she asked for help. And they said, you know, we can't help you. These are really dangerous men, these gang members who had killed her family. And the best thing for you to is leave the country, which is what she did.
So she's been taking care of her niece, and then they're separated when they get to Lukeville. Where is this girl now?
She's in New York right now, and it's been pretty much close to 8 months that they've been separated. And when they were first separated, Alexa had no idea how far New York was. You know, she realized that later on, 2,400 miles. They get to speak twice a week. It is our understanding that the little girl spends most of the day at a local shelter, and during the night she goes to sleep with a foster family.
Well, I think what's so interesting about this case, we started reporting on this story, and as we were talking with other legal experts about other cases of children separated from their primary caregivers, what we found out was that actually, in a strange way, Alexa and her niece were lucky in some regard, which is a horrible word to use in this case, but that in other cases, the caregiver isn't even in touch with the child at all. And we found out in other cases that there are children who arrive at shelters and the people working there and their lawyers don't even know if there was an adult separated from them. There's just no record of it at all.
So what does the government say about this? I mean, this is technically their policy, right? That if it's not a legally documented thing, this is what they'll do. They'll separate these people. What's their reasoning?
Well, so there's a longstanding federal law that says that children who arrive at the border without a parent or a legal guardian are considered unaccompanied and are routed into the child shelter system for unaccompanied youth. And the reasoning really for that policy is to protect children from traffickers, from smugglers. But the issue that we get into in the story is that there's not flexibility for how to define that legal guardian. And so there are advocates who are saying, look, there are cases where there's clearly a primary caregiver and they should be considered the legal guardian, But the government's position is that there needs to be that formal paperwork, adoption papers, or some kind of court order for them to consider the child to be able to stay with the adult. And they say that's for the child's safety.
And then you also write that there's no mechanism then for reuniting these families. Is there in this case any plan for Alexa and her niece?
I mean, there is obviously a lot of work at the level of the different advocacy organizations that work with children. And in this case, as we mentioned in the story, Alexa's niece, she does have a child advocate that is there to look for Alexa's best interest. And what these organizations typically do is they make sure that they can reunite. I mean, in the best case scenario, let's say if Alexa decided that she wanted to be deported back to Guatemala, they would try their best to allow them to be deported together, and if not, afterwards. And an important thing, something that we encounter in this story, is they considered the child's perspective, and they ask if the child wants to be reunited. And in most cases, according to the advocates, especially with young children, of course they want to be reunited with their parents or their caregivers.
Mm-hmm. So lastly, then, just tell us a little bit about what this experience has been like for Alexa as she gets to talk to her niece twice a week, like you say, but there's not any real clear plan of how they will end up together.
The best days for Alexa in detention are when she gets to talk to her little niece. But the rest of the time, she is in desperation. She's anxious. She can't eat. She has a really hard time sleeping. You have a combination of things here going on. The trauma that she experienced with the recent murder of her husband and the rest of her family, this trauma of the separation, and then this additional factor, which is the idea that she presented herself at the port of entry, asked for asylum, and then she was incarcerated. So when we talk to her, she tells us she made one mistake that makes her feel like a criminal, which is asking for asylum.
All right. That is Valeria Fernandez and Jude Joffe Block, independent journalists. The new piece is in The Guardian now. Thank you both for coming on.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you for having us.